Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Accepting the Love of God. A large percentage of Christians do not believe that God loves them. As a result, they are spiritually crippled and unable to love because they cannot accept the love of God. When Jesus walked the earth, women were considered inferior by the Jews, since Eve was beguiled by the serpent, but Jesus did not treat women in that fashion. He cared for and lifted them up despite the custom of the day to despise and treat women harshly. Pastor John examines the 39 women in Jesus' entourage that took care of the food for the men and saw to it that the men's clothing was washed and mended. In addition, we are going to look at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and the story of a prostitute. This message is entitled, How Jesus Related to Women. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that we can be here this Sunday. And that, Father God, we can be praising you and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you prepared our cameras here supernaturally today. And that, Father God, your hand is upon us. And open our hearts right now as we look at this message today, Lord. And I thank and I praise you, Father God, for guiding me, leading me, and most of all, anointing me, and anoint everyone listening. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 14, now some of you that are men here today, you might say, well, I'm going to be talking about Jesus, how Jesus related to the women, can I go home? And the answer is no. And the reason for that is that in Ephesians, we read this, as Jesus loved his church, so men ought to love their wives. So this is a good time for us men to learn how Jesus loved the women. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we read verses 8 and 9, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you? You have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you then say, Show us the Father? Jesus stated now, If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is the Father that is something came to us in the flesh. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now turn to 1 John chapter 1. And the apostle here is a few years later. He's in simply writing a few more things on this subject. And you read this. That which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which you have looked upon, and our hands have handled, are the word of life. What is he saying there? He said this, we have seen Jesus, we looked upon him, we shook his hand, we hugged him, he touched us, we have handled the word of God. The word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I have preached on 1 John many times. And I have always started with verse number 4 and applied that to the verses coming. But if you notice here now that John said, now, I wrote these things down for your joy may be full. Someone asked me, matter of fact, Charles asked me, where are you going with this series? And let me tell you where I'm going with this series. As I talk to people, I learn this, that they are not sure that God loves them. They know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not be ashamed, but have everlasting life. They know that. But that's for somebody else. But when it comes to me, I am not sure that God loves me. And if you are not sure that God loves you, how can you have a relationship with him? If you think he doesn't like you, how can you love him and have a relationship if you are not sure that God really loves you? I've been thinking about this for several weeks. And I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me this series to go. And I realized he simply showed me this. Take a look upon Jesus. How he dealt with the people around him. The women, the apostles, Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans. How did he deal with them? Because we know in John 13:8, it says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, if I want to know what Jesus is doing today, I look what he did yesterday, and I know what he will do tomorrow and what he does today. Now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. That's the book of Acts. And the very first chapter. And let me read this to you from my outline. We know that Jesus had an inner core of 120 persons who had made the decision to follow Jesus on a full-time basis during his time on earth. In looking at the book of Acts, we know that the group consisted of 11 apostles. Judas was dead. 70 men and 39 women. 39 women followed Jesus for 3.5 years on a daily basis. Why did we start up with women? Because women has been the most beaten down group of the human race over the years. Some of you might not think about this, but do you know that prior to about 1900, women could not vote in this country? I believe that the generation born now, they don't even think about that. But there was a big fight in the 1910s and up to the 20s, women's suffrage, when the women was pushing hard and simply saying, we need to be able to vote. But you see, the men said in the earlier years that women, you are not qualified to vote. And if you go to Saudi Arabia today, a woman cannot even drive a car because she's not qualified to drive a car in Saudi Arabia. If you go to Africa and Asia and some of many of these nations, you will find that women are raped, they're belittled, they are brutalized, particularly in Pakistan. And if you look in this country, if I remember my statistics right, that every fifth woman that is married is abused by her husband. We have women's shelters. We have a lot of things for the women. And you look upon the young teenage girls, they are abused. And women in generality are simply looked down upon. It's an attitude that has been on this planet for many, many years. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 12, we read this. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and said, the number of the names together were about 120. And there you get the 120 people. Now, I have also learned this. We had Henry White here a number of years ago. 5-6 years ago. And he had the Father's love. And we were maybe 500 or 600 people in the audience there. And I remember then when he began to ask how many women had been hurt by their fathers, that most of them stood up. And then when he led the father's prayers, and he simply said to the men that if you are close to a woman, just lay hands and hold it there when I pray for you, that I could hear in that room, and you that were there remember that, a sobbing. It was a sobbing from the innermost being of many of these women that simply were so hurt by their fathers. And Jesus loved the women as he loved the men. Let's turn into Luke chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8. And you pick it up here in verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12, the apostles, were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Johanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their substance. I want you to see a picture here this morning. We have seen pictures of Jesus walking and his 12 disciples. But I have never seen a painting of a group of women following him. They must have had some donkeys. They must have some fangs. Because as Jesus moved for 3.5 years, these women who he had ministered to followed him. And at night time, they broke out the fires, cooked the food, cleaning the clothes of the apostles and of Jesus, mending, taking care of things. And they were faithful. They were looked down upon by the people in Judah at that time, in Israel at that time. But they were there. And I'm sure that Jesus recognized that he had these women that ministered his needs because he had to eat. He had to have some place to sleep. And they simply ministered to him. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. How many of you heard someone say, well, I'm just a housewife? That is the most terrible thing we can hear. A housewife is a wonderful person. It's a woman taking care of her home and her children. And if you don't have to work outside the home, or you can take care of your children and be a homemaker, you are blessed. And you should be honored. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we read it from verses 9 through 15. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Paul now had this attitude of women. The way they thought about it was, women are a necessity. There's no food without that. And there's no children without them. But if you notice here now, they are relegated. They are simply, this is what they should do. And verse 11, the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I want you now to look upon verse number 12. Paul does not say, God does not suffer. Paul says, I do not suffer woman to teach, nor usurp the authority over the man, but to be in silence. There are many times in Paul's epistles where he simply said, this is what I say, not the Lord. And how many women have God called into the ministry of whatever kind it is? And because of this verse here, they simply suppressed their calling and they did something else. And they were not able to be what God wanted them to be. I want you to think about that. Now, as a conservative, Baptist, Pentecostal pastor, I'm supposed to simply say, you know, that women preacher cannot exist. But you see, this is Paul saying this. And if you look upon all the women in history that have stepped up and been called and led millions of people to Christ, will Christ tell these people they got saved and saying, I'm sorry, you got saved under this woman's ministry, that woman's ministry? You are not qualified. You must be saved under a man's ministry. Now you all got to go to hell. It's not going to happen that way. You think about that. Let me read it again. Paul said, but I suffer not the woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. God never said that. You chew on that? You think on that, and I'll leave it with that. Let's turn now to John 11, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And we're going to read here some verses that we might not have looked upon in the same way as before. Now let me say this to you that are watching us from Sweden. About 100 years ago, there was a young woman by the name of Ida. And Ida got saved as a young woman, filled with the Holy Spirit. And God called her to preach. We're talking about now 1890, 1900. And in those days, life was tough for women. And she went down to an area in Sweden, a region called Västergötland. And there she began to preach. And she established chapel after chapel after chapel. And it would be like a county here in America. And after she'd been on that field for about 35 to 40 years, she had planted hundreds of churches where people got saved. And she did a wonderful work. I had the privilege in 1971 to meet that woman. And she was an elderly woman at that time. And she'd raised up a staff around her, so on. And I had a chance to, she invited me to preach in her churches. And I had a chance to talk with her, pray with her. And I was impressed that here was a woman that loved God with all her heart, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she could preach a sermon second to none. She's in heaven now. Do you think that Jesus told her, look, Ada, Anderson, you got it wrong. You're a woman. You couldn't have built those churches. It was wrong for you to lead those people to Christ. You should have been sitting someplace silent and ask your husband what to do. I think what we need to do is to think, what does the Bible say? Turn in John now 11, 1 through 3, and we read this. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold he whom you love is sick. Martha and Mary, probably two young women in their 20s, late 20s, living with their brother Lazarus. None of them married at that time. Jesus had been many times in their home and eaten. And they felt so comfortable. They simply felt Jesus loves us. And when Lazarus got sick, they simply said, let's send for Jesus. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. If you never have underlined that verse in your Bible, underline that right now. Jesus, as God, loved Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus loved individuals, not the masses. When you heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he says to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews are late, sought to stone you, and go you thither again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in a day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of his world. If a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. But I go that I might awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but he thought that he had spoken and taken of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then we pick it up here in verse number 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. I want you to see this. Now, here comes Jesus walking down the road. Martha coming up, a woman, and she walks right up to the master. And I can just see her putting her finger and saying, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's how comfortable Martha was with Jesus. She knew that he loved her. And then she said in verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. And she scolded him. She said, now, Jesus, I know this. Whatever you want to do, you can do. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha to him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and called for you. Martha was standing here, then Jesus said, go and get Mary. Mary was crushed. And then can you see Martha walking away and simply feeling this way? Jesus loves me. He's the Messiah. He's God. But he loves me, a woman, a Jewish woman, that is not even married. Now, in verse 29, as soon as she heard that, that's Mary, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. The Jews then which were with him in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out followed, saying, she goes into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, said to him, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. How many times have you been upset with God? How many times have you felt this? You know, God, this is not fair. It's not fair. I listened to a sermon early this morning. About 6:30. And the man was preaching on anger. And he simply said that anger leads into bitterness. And I thought about it. Yes, I've been angry. Yes, I've been bitter. Who was I angry with? I've been angry with God. You know why? Because I felt he let me down. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. 40 years. Got a handful of people. 40 years. Every month we got to ask people, please help us with a rent. Every month I got to beg. And I know God loves me, and I've been bickering with God. I said, God, where are you? And this morning I realized that I've been eating on myself. And I simply said, God, thank you for what I've had. Thank you for what you gave me. And I made a choice. I don't have to be bitter. Look at Mary now. She came to Jesus. She was upset. And she told him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. I really want you to look at verse 33 now. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit I was troubled. As Mary was kneeling in front of him, he didn't say, "Woman, you are offending me. Get out of the way." He looked upon her. He realized her heart was broken. She was weeping. And Jesus was touched. God was touched. And then we read, "And Jesus said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept." Right there, our Master, our Savior, our Lord, he simply broke down and wept. He wept for Mary. He wept over the Jews. He wept over the human race that had so little faith. He wept over us because we are so hurt and beaten up by the devil. And in his love, he simply began to cry. And he cried, "God cried over you and me." Do you understand that he loves you? Then said the Jews, "Behold how we loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, come to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been there dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, he didn't scold her. He simply said, "I'm not to you, that if you would believe that you should see the glory of God." Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Now, Jesus loved these people. I want to turn right now to Hebrews 13:8. That's Hebrews 13:8. And it says there, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is doing the same thing today he was doing 2,000 years ago. The same. He's still weeping over us. He still has compassion over us. He's crying over us. He's praying for us. He's a high priest. Let me read from my outline. 6 days before Jesus was crucified, he went to spend the last time with Lazarus and his sisters, and they made a great feast for him in his home. As was the custom in a Jewish home, only the men ate at the table, while the women cooked and served the food and ate after in the kitchen. Turn to John 12:1. Now, my wife and I experienced that when we were in Finland one time. We were invited to a very well-known preacher, Nilo Ylivin. And he had us there for dinner. And I couldn't believe it. He sat at the table. He sat at the table. And his wife stood in the kitchen. And I'm used to, you know, that before we eat, you know, we pray. So I said, "Aren't your wife going to sit down with us and pray?" He said, nope, she's going to serve us. I said, okay. And there we were. We prayed. And she came with food on our plates. We sat at the table and ate. And she stood at the counter in the kitchen and ate her food while we was waiting for us to be served the next meal. And I tell you what, I felt that low. And I felt, you know, why couldn't she be there? Well, apparently he had taken up the custom of the Jews, you see. The Jews at this time, when they had a synagogue, the women were never allowed to sit in a synagogue. They had a balcony in the back with a gallery. And that's where the women and children sat, in the back of the balcony. And when you had dinner or ate in a Jewish home, first of all, they didn't have chairs. They had low tables. You would lay on cushions on the floor, feet out, and the women would not eat. The men would eat. The women were in the kitchen. They would serve, and they would not be with the men. They were not worthy to eat with a man. That was a custom. Let's look now in the Gospel of John 12:1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was with, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary simply felt, I want to do something for Jesus. She took this very costly spices, essential oil, whatever they were, and she was simply anoint his feet, wipe them with her hair, and then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which would betray him, why was the ointment sold for 300 pounds and given to the poor? This said he not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag. He was a treasurer, and there was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Jesus accepted her love. As the men were laying around the table, here was Mary, just on her knees and wiping Jesus' feet. And Jesus accepted her love. And this is what God will do, not only with women, but with all of us. When we tell him we love him, when we do something for him, he accepts it. And he loves us. Mary loved Jesus with all her heart. She broke the rules when she ministered to Jesus. She felt no shame, no fear, and knew in her heart that Jesus loved her. Therefore, she came and gave him the most expensive gift she could afford. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter 7. Have you picked it up here in verse number 36? There's Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. And here's a story now. Jesus invited into a house to have supper. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in a Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Let me share this with you so you understand the background. At the time of Jesus, women did not work. Women could not be employed. They had no income. If a woman became a widow, if she became a widow, unless she has children, she would have to go out and beg. And many women who did not get married and their parents died had no other option than to be a prostitute. And the thing that is really bad about it is that the men, they hated the prostitutes, but they were the ones that used them. Just like today, we wouldn't have any prostitution if there were no men buying their services. And instead of taking care of the women, they simply let them work the streets. Now when the Pharisee, which had been him, saw it, he spoke with himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. She's a whore." Jesus could read thoughts. And he answered him and said, "Simon, have I somewhat to say unto you?" And his master say on. "There was a certain credit which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pounds and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom you forgave most." And he said to him, "You are rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman since it came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I said to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven." And then they sat at meat with him, began to say with himself, "Who is this that forgives sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I won't say this not only to the women, but also to the men. This woman knows she was a sinner. But somehow, she had been listening to Jesus' teaching for some time. And she recognized that Jesus was a kind man. She recognized he was a loving man. She recognized he was the Messiah. He was God. But she recognized that he was a loving God. And because she recognized that, she came to him and simply kissed his feet, washed them, dried them, anointed them. And Jesus did not kick her back and say, "Get away here, you filthy woman." He said, "Your sins are forgiven." All of us are filthy sinners. All of us deserve to go to hell. But Jesus does not reject anyone that comes to him and say, "Please forgive me." You know, when you cannot accept the love of God, you are hurting God. Here is God the Father sending his Son, and Jesus is simply showing his love to the people. It's recorded. And you say, well, I don't believe that he loves me. What makes you different from this prostitute? What makes you different from Mary and Martha and Lazarus? Nothing. Jesus is love. Turn to Mark 15:40. The Gospel of Mark 15:40. Mark 15 at verse number 40. And this is at the cross. I want you to see this. The Bible tells us that all the men fled from the cross. They fled. But look here. There were also women looking on afar off. Among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the less of Joses and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered to him, and many other women which came up with him into Jerusalem. Men, I want you to say this. At Calvary, Peter had fled. John had fled. Who was left? The women. It must have been heartbreaking for them to see Jesus mutilated. But they stood afar off. And I'm sure they prayed. I'm sure their hearts were broken. But they were loyal. They were faithful to the very end. And this is the characteristics of what I see on many wives. A man can be unfaithful and he can be rude to his wife, but a woman very, most of the time is very faithful. It's a gift that God has given you. Faithful to your husband, faithful to your children. And in prayer meetings, mostly we have women, not men. It's a sad story. But here stood these women at the cross. And I'm sure that Jesus was aware of that someone was there with him. Someone was there. Now turn to John chapter 20. The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. If you pick it up here in verse number 1. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre from the grave. Who was the first one to show up? A woman. They loved him. They were devoted. And on the third day, here comes Mary. And then she found he was not there. She went back to get Peter and John and the rest of them. Now go down to verse number 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And she sees two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other on the feet, at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus just still stood there. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? She's supposed to get to be the garden and said to him, sir, If you have borne him hands, tell me we have laid him. I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. He spoke with a certain voice. And when he said, Mary, she recognized his loving voice. It was Jesus. Jesus knows you by name. He knows who you are. He wants to speak your name. Intimate. Loving. He wants to speak your name. Whatever your name is. But you know, so many are putting up a shield and saying, you can't say that, Jesus, because I can't love you. Because I don't think that you love me. Take that shield down. Ask him to forgive you for rejecting his love. His love for you. Let's look at a summary right now. Jesus cared for women. He lifted them up despite the custom of the day to despise women and to treat them harshly. This should encourage us to exhibit the same tender emotions that Jesus displayed as he walked among men and women on this earth. I want you to get this point now. Jesus was caring. Jesus was loving. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus had a personal relationship with the people in his presence. Jesus forgave sinners and he healed the sick. Do you understand how much you have hurt God when you reject his love? Do you understand how much you hurt him? You did our fathers. You did our mothers. And when your children were born, maybe the first one was born, and you saw that little baby, and you held that little baby in your arms, I tell you what, there was a love welling up within you, just a love coming up and saying, that's my baby, my son, my daughter. And that love is there. You see, now you are God's children. Think if a baby could talk. A baby 6 months old. Here's daddy holding a baby and just loving her. And the baby said, hey, man, I don't love you. And you say, what? I don't believe you love me. I can't believe that. So just leave me alone. I can't receive your love. That would devastate the father. And when God the Father takes us in his arms and he hugs us and holds us and we say, let go of your arms. I can't take that. I can't take the love. I can't take it. I hate myself because you don't love me. That's mental insanity. It's insanity. Those thoughts are from Satan because Satan hates God. And he hates you. And he wants you to hate yourself. Jesus is love. Why did Jesus do this? Because he loves the human race. And he died for us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Thus we can conclude that God the Father has the same emotion that Jesus did, and this should greatly encourage us to accept his love and to be willing to walk closely with him. This is scripture in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. so that counterwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such ones be swallowed with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you should confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake forgave it in the person of Christ. Closing this scripture, this sermon here today, I want to say this to you. If you haven't done this, I want you to look upon yourself today. I want you to ask yourself this question. Have I forgiven myself? Every one of us have done a lot of bad things, some more than others. But we all have messed up. And we got older. And the question is, can God forgive you? The Bible says yes. Can you forgive yourself? No, I can't forgive myself because I hold this grudge against myself. If you can't forgive yourself, then God cannot forgive you. Let me tell you this story in closing. It was very good. His preacher told this morning. He said he was driving down to one of these fast food restaurants, McDonald's or something like this. You drive up in a drive-in. And for some reason, he had cut off a woman behind him. And he got in line with her, and she got very angry. She simply honked her horn. She rolled down the window. She cussed at him. She screamed at him. She called him all kinds of different names. And she was just beside herself. So he simply sat in the car, and then it was his turn to come up to the drive-up window. He ordered his stuff. He said, I was so scared of the woman, I locked my car. And then the thought came to him. What could he do? The woman was just raging behind. So he asked the clerk at the window, how much is this woman's lunch is coming up? And they told him a figure. He said, I'm going to pay for that. So he paid the woman's lunch and said, now, don't charge her again. I paid for it. He drove up and stopped, and then he looked in the rear view mirror to see what she did. She drove up angry, like this, you know, and said, where's my stuff? And then the clerk gave her the stuff and said, no charge. What? Who paid for my stuff? The car in front of you. Oh, my God. Forgive. Forgive. Forget. Release. And today, here's how I want us to do. We're going to pray. Would you stand with me? You're not watching us stand. Would you stand right now? I want you to take your two arms and just hug yourself. Just hug yourself. And then pray with me. My Heavenly Father, I come to you right now. Forgive me for not believing that you really love me. I believe that you love me. Right now, I accept your love. I receive it. And I forgive myself. Heal me. Release my bitterness, my anger, and let joy and peace simply flood me. And I thank you for that. And I praise you. Now lift your hands up and say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And if you're watching, you say, I have a need, we'd be glad to pray with you. Call us. Write us. But most of all, remember this. God loves you. The altars are open when you come. Thank you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Accepting the Love of God, and was entitled, How Jesus Related to Women. It is rarely brought out that Jesus had 39 women in his entourage that took care of the food for the men, and saw to it that the men's clothing was washed and mended. Women were considered inferior by the Jews, but Jesus did not treat women in that fashion. Instead, he cared for and lifted them up despite the custom of that day to treat them harshly. Jesus was compassionate and had a personal relationship with the people in his presence. He told us that if you have seen me, you have also seen the Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you have a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? Are you receiving his love in your life and walking closely with him? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1329. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.